This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
One of the best things around here is when Stugatz gets to a point that he is so riled up, so emotional, so passionate, so sports fan, that he makes a threat to boycott. An insincere threat to boycott. And he has announced officially and formally, and I'm presenting this to America, sea to shining sea, that if Ohio State is in the Final Four, Stugatz is not watching.
Nope, it's a joke. I mean, it absolutely is a joke. If the committee puts Ohio State, who has four games, they have played a total of four games. The schedule is ridiculously easy. Their toughest opponent was Indiana. They barely beat Indiana. Their quarterback is now out. If we're going to put a team that has played four games and act like we've made some sort of good evaluation about that team and how good that team is, after four games against four lousy opponents, and we're going to put
Indiana is good this year. Indiana is good this year.
But okay, they're good this year. The first time in about 25 years that they've been good. I'm being generous there, okay? But you cannot sit here and be the committee and say strength of schedule is very important, and that's why BYU is so far away from having a spot in the Final Four, and then put an Ohio State team in the Final Four who's had an easy schedule but has only played four games. You can't do it. And if they do it, I am warning you right now, not going to watch it. Not going to participate. Why have a season? Just put the same four teams in the Final Four every year.
Well, we do.
I to echo Stugatz's sentiments, it does feel, if teams aren't actually going to do much in the way of resume building, and it seems sort of pointless for some of the other teams that have built actually good resumes because whether their conferences got to action earlier or they did a better job of managing the pandemic, if it feels like a foregone conclusion, why are we putting our players at such risk right now to do this season for everybody?
Okay, well, the answers to your questions are very obvious. They're putting everyone at risk to make money so that everyone can make money, and we are complicit enablers because we have a whole economy. This entire construct, if you think about what college football is, what it actually is more than anything else, is big business for a handful of people. And when you look at the general distortion of what college football is, never more distorted than it is this year, but the general distortion of all the same programs get all the same great players, and all of those programs are dominant in a way that a sport doesn't have a salary cap, and Nick Saban can pay his offensive coordinator $2.5 million and already has all the advantages, then all has all the financial advantages, and Alabama's always going to be good, and we're always going to think that Alabama, it deserves to be in the top four. Now, whether they play the games or not, Alabama's there, the sport needs it, but the entire construct of what you're looking at is so randomly flawed, where it's not just the ridiculous measure of my father has a Heisman vote, and that's how we're measuring that construct, an ornate, historic presentation meant to sis-boom by our way down the field and collect on the greed. The actual construct of what you're watching, there are only a couple of teams that have a real chance in the Big Ten. The rest of them just exist to play each other and not be as good as the other guys because they don't get the same recruits, they don't try as hard, they don't have the same boosters, they don't make the same money. These conferences, like they only have a couple of teams at the top that are so much better than everyone else,
right?
Because they're running professional programs that are making the most money so that Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban are competing to who's the highest paid coach at all times because they're just going against each other and nobody else.
Well, nothing's going to give the appearance more than, I don't even want to say make money, maybe mitigate losses, than actually having a season, right? But you're catching what's happening in the ACC with Notre Dame. Now, I know I'm a Miami fan, right? And I actually think the scenario is actually working out quite well for Manny Diaz and the University of Miami in terms of a program that's building, because I don't believe them to be worthy of a top four spot. But it seemed like from the outset, the ACC wanted Notre Dame and Clemson in the ACC championship. Miami wanted to play Notre Dame. That game never happens. Notre Dame hosts Clemson. Miami has to travel to Death Valley. Notre Dame has a game against Wake Forest, who I feel like either could have beaten Miami or Notre Dame. It's a very explosive offense at Wake Forest, and they're a talented team. I at least wanted to see the game. They don't have to play that game. Notre Dame is in the ACC championship, and what felt like a foregone conclusion going into the season actually plays out. And if you're Miami and you want to prove to the nation that you've improved game over game, unfortunately, you don't have that opportunity now.
It just feels like we have this committee and we're doing the same thing we've always done. Who's undefeated? Who hasn't lost a game? We're not factoring in that Florida played a game. They lost a game. They played a very difficult schedule. They're a very good team. They played at Texas A&M in front of the only home crowd this season. And that place was
packed. They lost by a touchdown.
Yes.
Mullen complains afterward that he wants a home crowd like that home crowd, and then he gets COVID. What I would say to you is, and this is the part, right? It's wrapped in so much, Stugatz, sis boom ba mythology, where so many people are propping up that this thing matters and is a regal thing that you know, just taps into regional sports fandom in a way that is identity politics and is just super interesting as a business. But the whole thing is rigged almost like professional wrestling. Like, you've got the four or five best teams, and unless something apocalyptic happens, like every once in a while, a Notre Dame will sneak in there, or Oklahoma will sneak in there as the top of its cruddy conference where it's always getting the best players.
Right.
The whole thing is rigged.
But where, it has to be.
Where UCF can go undefeated and can't actually get into the Final Four because we're going to take our big teams with all the advantages and it's not going to be merit-based and we're going to get a committee with Condoleezza Rice on it and we're just going to make the whole thing up as we go along so that everyone can cash in. That's the only thing that matters.
I understand that, but every year it has to be wrapped in Ohio State. Like, it has to be wrapped in Ohio State regardless of whether or not they play four games, 12 games, eight games, two games.
But
Ohio
yes
State
or no,
has to be there.
Yes or no.
There's a Justin Fields?
Yes or no. They're the best team in that conference. Just yes or no. Yes or no.
I mean, they struggled against Indiana.
So no?
I mean, I don't know.
Yes, but I don't know how good that conference is because they're not playing non-conference games. The committee, it's very difficult. There's no right answer for how they go it. But they're put together to decide the four best teams in the nation. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean wins and losses. Sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean resume building. But in a year like this year, you should lean on that. But you don't even have transitive property because you don't have non-conference games. So it's impossible.
But there's enough teams that have put together a good enough resume where you're right, Mike. Maybe they're not the traditional powers, traditional teams that we see in a Final Four. But it'd be fun for a season, especially a weird season like this, to see some of those teams at least have a shot, maybe even make it. Why not Cincinnati? Why not BYU? Those teams have put together actual resumes. They played 9 or 10 games.
Well, why not just expand the playoff? If we're just doing this for a cash grab, right? If we're trying to mitigate losses and we're all admitting it's an impossible job to pick four teams, they expanded playoffs in all the other sports to, well, even the NFL made that plan before the pandemic, but right. They expanded the playoffs because of the pandemic in Major League Baseball. Why not expand this? Because it's very hard to pick four teams in a year like this.
Well, can I please, maybe I'm saying something that's just super obvious here, but when you step back from what this beast is, it is reality programming that you could wonder about the same way that you do the Kardashians or anything else. Is this real or is it not real? This is all made for television programming. The whole construct, the Heisman ceremony, the idea, it's all it is programming. It's the only thing that it is.
I'd like to think it's the best four teams.
But hold on. But when you make this committee and you have this weekly, like they show you more and more, they're showing you more and more. They're giving away the game more and more each time, showing you more and more leg up the dress. When they make a made-for-TV program that is just, let's have the committee get together so these guys start talking about the next day and we just manufacture the marketing for our whole rigged system of there are actually only 10 good teams out there. There are only 10 good teams, and five of them have all the advantages, including paying the strength coach millions of dollars to get their already better athletes even better than they are than the other guys.
Don Le Batard.
Beyonce's had 11 fragrances.
11?
11.
She's allergic to perfume.
Living a lie.
Stugatz.
Well, living a lie, Dan, you know, when you're allergic to perfume and you're out there selling perfume wherein you yourself don't use perfume because you can't use perfume because you're allergic to perfume,
you're
to me, that's living a lie.
You're going
to
go down this path.
I have lived several lies, Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more today at Progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
So, used to be on ESPN News, and now on ESPN Plus, you can find us. And one of the camera shots here that is a standard on our simulcast is coming in from the ocean because we are at the Clevelander Hotel on South Beach on Ocean Drive at the center of Miami Beach tourism. And it's a nice shot, especially during the winter, coming in and seeing the ocean so blue. But right now, what just came in on the screens was about a dozen police officers are in the shot. And Mike, isn't that the same place where somebody got shot recently? Wasn't there?
No, they got shot at a different spot. Yeah. No, actually, I think a couple of years ago, someone did get shot at that spot, but not the most recent shooting, was it?
That's the same place I fought Masvidal, yeah. Right there, out on that lawn. Yeah, yeah. I beat him, by the way.
That is correct. Yeah, and yeah. So, do we know what's happened out there? Because there seems to be a whole lot of activity out there, but not a shooting. Not that we. So we are basically.
Do I know what the police are doing outside the studio right now? No.
We are in the middle of a dangerous, dangerous place, and I think that it's because. And Stugatz has been saying this for days. Sean Payton is playing a dangerous game. What is the dangerous game that you speak of that Sean Payton is playing?
He is going out. I don't know if Taysom Hill is any good. I really don't. I have no idea. I don't know if he's a good quarterback.
Well,
he's a good football player.
He didn't look like he could play the position last game, correct?
I know. He is going out of his way, though, to make it appear that Taysom Hill was the right decision. Raiders. I mean, touchdowns that are normally reserved for Alvin Kamara are going to Taysom Hill. And I am telling you, this is going to create a massive problem, if it hasn't already, inside the Saints locker room, because Kamara is toting the ball 50, 60 yards, right? He gets him down to the 2 or 3, and then to justify Taysom Hill in this agonizing decision that Sean Payton had to go through as to who to start when my quarterback gets hurt, okay? To justify it, he keeps handing the ball for these one-yard plunges for Taysom Hill to get a couple of touchdowns. Let me tell you what's going to happen. First off, this team is going to be accustomed. Hey, this guy Taysom Hill, we're winning. What happens when Breeze comes back? That's problem number one.
Well, that Bridgewater won 5 games last year without losing, and that wasn't a problem.
Here's the bigger problem, though. Okay.
Well, that wasn't a problem.
Well, here's the bigger problem, though.
Okay? Oh, wait a minute. I just heard. Hold on. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Let's backtrack for a second because he sneaks him in here every once in a while where he was vigorously agreeing with you the entire time.
It's because we love each other.
Vigorously. No, and because he likes to agree with you and is an anarchist. And I just heard, how am I going to start introducing Ing Billy? Because what do you have to say here about everything that that Stugatz is saying? You agree with all of it.
Well, I don't know what I can say that he didn't say, Dan. I mean, here's the thing. It's very obvious, plain as day, clear as the eye can see, that Sean Payton's giving him these little pity touchdowns to justify his decision to have him starting over James. James would have 6,000 yards and 6,000 interceptions right now, and Taysom Hill doesn't have any interceptions because he's not throwing the ball. He's just running it in when he gets close to the yard line, so he's not turning the ball over at all. But, Stugatz, don't forget, we can't question Sean Payton because he has more information than the rest of us. But this Taysom Hill, he is not the next quarterback.
It's a big problem. It's a dangerous game because here's what happens, okay, Dan? Drew Brees is going to come back. You know who Sean Payton still has to rely on? Alvin Kamara. You know who will rely on less? Taysom Hill. And Alvin Kamara is going to lay out for Sean Payton after 4 weeks of Payton taking touchdowns away from Alvin Kamara? Shame on Payton.
Shame on Payton. There's a mutiny coming, and we can see it from a mile away.
Yep.
You're the only person in America making this a Taysom Hill Alvin Kamara thing and not a Taysom Hill Jameis Winston thing, because last week you admitted that this is just soaked in fantasy bias because Taysom Hill is vulturing Alvin Kamara touchdowns.
Right.
That's what this is, entire thing is built
that was
on.
Last week. This is this week, and I'm thinking big picture, long term. Okay, and Sean Payton is an NFL head coach and should probably do the same. He needs to think about not today, not this Sunday. What happens when Breeze comes back? And I have to go back to giving Alvin. Is Alvin Kamara going to give me the same kind of effort after I took five touchdowns away from him through a three-week span in the middle of the season? I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly.
A big problem. Dangerous game.
Exactly. Dangerous.
He's losing his guys right now. He's losing his team.
He's
may
losing
be winning
the locker
games.
Room. Yeah.
Yep. Short term, he's winning games. Long term, he's losing the team.
Aren't they on the best winning streak in the sport outside of Pittsburgh?
For now.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Is it clear for as long as the eye can see that Sean Payton is giving Taysom Hill pity touchdowns?
Oh, he is.
You said that was as clear for as clear as the eye can see.
So he's got a scoring touchdowns problem
right
now?
Pity touchdowns. Explain to me this, pity touchdowns.
They're pity touchdowns to justify the starting of Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. It's just, hey, Alvin, get me down. Michael Thomas, get me down. Okay, everyone, get me down to the two and let Taysom Hill run 2 yards for a touchdown to pad the stats, make him look better, make Peyton look better.
All right. Checking the boxes.
All right, do me a favor. Write that question down, and we will ask that question leading off our interview with Victor Cruz next. Okay? We're going to talk to Victor Cruz.
I
just want to see what his reaction is. Like, I want him to come on the show, and I want you to say, for as clear as the eye can see, it is clear that Sean Payton is giving Taysom Hill pity touchdowns, and see if we can engage a conversation.
He's going to agree with me.
Let's see what we have.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
It's one of my favorites.
What?
Billy vigorously agreeing with you on nonsense.
Well, how can you not agree? I mean, it's obvious what's going on.
Clear as day.
Here's the problem. You watch the Red Zone, man. You watch games. You watch fragments of games. I watch games, okay? I'm watching these Saints games, and I'm telling you, I'm seeing it. Dan, if you're paying attention, when Taysom Hill scores, look at Alvin Kamara. Look how disappointed he is. I'm serious. Watch the games. Not fragments. Watch the entire game.
Wow, okay. You are really bossing me around.
I am. Weird.
Granger, not fragments of the game. He's watching those two-yard runs around the corner.
Well, you know, the red zone, Taysom Hill scores. They go right to the next scoring play. You don't stick around to see the reaction from Alvin Kamara.
Granger, Stugatz, tell the people. It's all fantasy-related. He is just soaked in fantasy bias. That's
I was
it.
In first place before this Taysom Hill came into my life. I mean, jeez.
Dan Le Batard.
Woo, woo.
Stugatz.
Woo, woo.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Victor Cruz is going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Today on ESPN Daily, the new documentary, Tiger Woods, America's Son, explores the superstar golfer's path to winning the Masters in 1997 and his relationship with race. Director Lauren Stowell talks about making the film. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So this guy right here is, and you might think Kiko Alonso would have been because he's Cuban. But Victor Cruz is actually my father's favorite football player. We will get to him in a second, but he will have to wait because first, it is Christine Lisi's Kazoos.
And finally, cockroaches are becoming immune to insecticides. Yeah. Speaking of cockroaches, they won't go away. He's too back
to you. Wow. Oh, yes. Yeah, all right.
I did not see that one coming at all.
As soon as you heard cockroaches, you knew it was headed in your direction.
Yeah.
So Victor Cruz is with us, and he is with us to talk one of our favorite things, which is just eating and chips. But before we get to that, Stugatz has a very important question for you, Victor. Thank you for making the time for us. But before we get to any of the pleasantries, Stugatz needs an answer for an important question.
Victor, I'm wondering, is it clear for as long as the eye can see that Sean Payton is giving Taysom Hill pity touchdowns?
I don't think there's any such thing as pity touchdowns in the NFL, okay? You got to work hard for those things. They don't come up few and far between. But Taysom Hill's been doing a tremendous job, or more so Sean Payton, designing, you know, the offense to kind of tailor to his strengths. And I think as angry as I was inside about not choosing Jameis Winston to start, I think Taysom Hill gives them their best chance from a scheme perspective to keep teams off balance and make it work.
And there's no such thing, Victor, as, you know, pity touchdowns. It's hard work. But Alvin's doing all the work. We're getting to the 1 yard line, and then Taysom's just walking it in, getting the stats.
You agree with that, right? Like, you see Alvin disappointed every time he gets them 80 yards and then 2 yards, Taysom Hill cleans it up for the touchdown. And listen, this is going to have long-term effects on the team. You know that, right, Victor?
I don't know if it's going to have long-term effects. Alvin will be fine. As long as they're winning football games, he'll be A-okay. It's no difference than how I felt if I have a big gain and a big catch and goes 50 yards and I land on the 9, and then they want to bring in the tank personnel to have all these big tight ends and running backs in here, and they take wide receivers off the field. It's the same exact feeling. I'd rather you throw a fade in the back of the end zone on 3 straight possessions than run the ball. I mean, but – I'm a receiver, so, you know, that's right. Just part of my
brother. I appreciate that you would just tolerate this buffoonery and answer the question.
Well, no, he knows there's something there. He doesn't know that there's anything there. Victor, are you telling me there's not countless examples of players who take the ball, right? They get a majority of the yards. 80-yard drive, they get you 70 yards, right? And then they hand it off or a quarterback dive. Like, you don't think some of the Patriots were upset that on the 1 yard line every time Tom Brady, who needs more accolades and touchdowns, that he would get the 1 yard plunge after James White would take him 70 yards?
Why are you doing this?
That's the most successful team of our lifetime.
Right, but he knows.
Look how that ended.
Yes, to answer your question, yes. Boom! There are players that are just like, man, or especially the run. I mean, wide receivers are, you know, they are what they are. They'll get the big plays. As long as receivers get over 100 yards, you feel good about yourself. You feel like you've done a good day's work. But running back specifically, because they really do the hard work of getting between the tackles. Boy, they probably got 7 or 8 handoffs throughout that drive, you know, and they want to get in the end zone too.
He's not your man. He's denied your take three separate times.
Running back. He said the running back position, wide receiver position is different. 7 carries, 80 yards. You want to finish that drive off.
I think he's
you don't
to
want
you
Taysom
badgering.
Hill
Why
to do
are
it.
We wasting this man's
You're
time?
Badgering our
Let's
guests.
Get to the important
he
questions.
Like that he agrees.
I don't understand why, for the first time in 20 years, and before we go back to Victor Cruz, let me just throw it around the room. Like, Pringles has a new look. It's got bold hues and clean design. I'm not reading that at all. I just know that. That's what the new can looks like. But there was no problem with the old can, Victor. What the hell was the matter with the old can?
It just needed an upgrade. It just needed a little bit of a little sprinkle of flavor. That's all it needed. That's all it needed. You know, so here we are 20 years later, brand new can. Mr. P gets a little bit of an upgrade. I think there's just a little bit more raise in the eyebrow, Dan. I think that's pretty much what it is. But it's good. It's good that after 20 years, they're allowing people to be like Mr. P and get themselves a fresh upgrade as well, fresh glow up, if you will. So five lucky winners are going to join the sweepstakes. All the information is on Pringles Twitter. You can go there to check it out. Got to put in a hashtag to join the sweepstakes. But 5 people will win $1,500 towards their own glow up. So, Dan, if you want to get, a facial, if you want to get some new clothes, a pair of new kicks, Mr. P is going to provide that glow up for you. So, again, that sweepstakes runs through December 16th. Make sure that you are checking out the Pringles Twitter page to get all the information you need to join and have your chance to get $1,500 of glow up money. And I'm going to go on Twitter right now. I need glow up money too, Dan. So I'm going to go ahead and apply myself. I don't know if I win, because I'm doing this promotion, but hey, I'm going to try anyway.
Dan, Pringles sensed that the fun was stopping, and you know what they say, once you pop, the fun don't stop. So they redid things, boom, glow up, fun again.
Again, I will right, ask Victor? I will ask Mike Ryan, like, what was wrong with the previous can?
Absolutely nothing, Dan. It was a can that made you... I know Chris Cody's had this take that he can't fit his fat little grubby hands into the can all the way. It actually made you be better. Oh, let me take care of myself by eating these Pringles and eating the other right things and exercising so my hand can fit all the way to the bottom. It made you want to be better, Dan.
Be a better man, Chris.
I've quickly learned, though, that you can just shovel them in your mouth. You don't even need to get your hand in there. Am I right?
There it is. There's a tilt, a head tilt that goes with the pour.
Yes.
But you can't everything in moderation, guys. Too.
What is the correct way to eat Pringles?
Well, for me, I'm going to tell you the way I eat Pringles. You got to tilt. You put one finger in, right? That sounds crazy, but you put one finger in the in the can. You tilt the can so that.
Wait a minute, Victor. Hold on.
You
probably should keep it moving. Let's keep it moving.
I want to point out that not one but two producers dropped their faces into their hands. Go ahead, Victor.
As soon as I said it, I regretted it.
Well, we started with Mr. P. I didn't think it would get much worse than that, but there we are.
I do have a question about Mr. P. You're saying that his eyebrows are a little higher. Is that because he did Botox? Because the same thing happened to my dad.
Yep, I'm going to glaze right over that one and keep it going here. So I put one finger in the can. I lean the can over so the tips fall directly onto that finger. I grab a nice little 3-4 potato crisp snack, grab. Pick it up. Now I got 3-4 of them. I'm munching away. And then repeat that process over and over. You're good.
That's a good way of eating it. You know the way that I prefer, Victor? You ever make the duck bill? You get two Pringles, point them in the opposite direction, and you just, like, tilt your head back like Terry Taylor, the Red Rooster?
I have. I have done that, actually, and my daughter has done that as well. That's a classic move right there.
Would Victor Cruz give double thumbs up to the idea that everyone in the world should have the last couple of Pringles just sort of throwing the can at their face, like that the last couple, you don't need to rummage around. You just need to go ahead and put your lips to the lid, and the last couple are eaten that way.
Yeah, if you get to the end of the bag, I think that's pretty traditional, whether it's the Pringles can, the Pringles can or any other, potato crisp bag or anything like that. You do the whole head tilt. You get all the crumbs. And half of it probably falls on your lap. But that's pretty much the way you finish a bag of chips, that's for sure.
All right, so I want an honest answer because we have done this for you. We have promoted Pringles in a way that has gotten attention to Pringles and its new can. I demand you to remove the bias from this sponsorship and give me Victor Cruz's top three Hall of Fame chips. Now, Pringles can be a choice, but I'll respect you more if it's not.
Well, so unfair.
Luckily for me, I do believe that you have the utmost respect for me, Dan. So I'm going to start by saying Pringles is up there because they are, but not because I'm doing this partnership, but because they truly are up there in the top. Would you say top three? Are we saying three?
Yeah,
top three. I have lost all respect for you. I've revoked your status as my
father's. I've never respected you more,
favorite,
man.
My father's favorite athlete, Kiko Alonso, has now passed you because, yes, I asked for three, and you just went right back to the Pringles promotion.
I went right back, but that's, I won't give them in order. I'll just give you three. So I'll go with Pringles. I mean, any flavor. I'll go with original just to keep it clean. I won't say the other competitor's brand name, but Cool Ranch. I'll give you that. Everyone knows.
Yeah, you are good.
Yeah, that'll stay in your breath for days, though, right? It will stay in your breath for days.
Dan tried to put you in a tough spot.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, because I put him in a real easy spot before
I'll
that.
I'll leave it at that, Dan. Leave it right at that. I got people looking at me on the phone with the raised eyebrow.
All right. Is Mr. P there with the raised eyebrow? Oh, Botox Mr. P? See you later, Victor. Good talking to you.
Likewise, man. Be well, guys.
See ya.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
Chris, why are you throwing your hands at the Zoom? What happened?
Only you can turn one of the best promotions they probably had into something that's not a good promotion really quick.
Advance Auto Parts, you got.
Real quick before you do that, remember, the new Pringles can has bold new hues and a clean new design.
All right. And a big W for me and Billy.
Don Lebatard.
I feel like I've been framed.
Stugatz. Dead giveaway.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. C.D. Brown at C.D. Brown Author replied to our poll. Excuse me. Is it clear as the eye can see that Sean Payton is giving Taysom Hill pity touchdowns with a classic fan response? Alvin Kamara just got $75 million.
There it is. Yes.
He's fine.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. He's not fine, I'm telling
you. You're checkmated because that's usually your argument. Yeah,
it is. Watch the games, though. The entire game.
That's his new argument. Yeah. Okay, let's do this.
Fragments.
Billy, how do you feel about the useless sound montage today? It's very late, but the week went till Wednesday afternoon football. How strong are you feeling this is right here?
Well, Dan, I don't know if you heard, but it was the longest week in NFL history. Mike Tirico told us, and it culminates today with the useless sound montage.
All right, extra useless. Wow. Do it.
To be bluntly honest, it's been a really disappointing our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you.
All the momentum is good momentum.
Did they play what we thought they were going to play?
No, I just put my head down and go to work.
You know, there's only two things I hate more than missing throws, and that's lying and skim milk. And skim milk's just water lying about being milk.
I think these guys need a little bit of, push in the head.
We got punched in the face, and it just kept happening.
That's the global mentality of all of us. It's day to day. It's a sensitive situation. And so you're talking about degrees of confidence and things of that nature. That's a slippery slope.
We're just trying to go 1-0 each week, Jake.
Focus on being 1-0 each week.
Just 1 week at a time. And we're just taking it, you know, one day at a time.
All is well, but nothing matters when you lose.
We don't need cautionary tales. We're living this every day.
Well, you won't get anywhere if you're thinking about negatives all the time.
He is extremely prepared. And when you prepare, you know, usually good things happen.
I told kicker guy, I said he's putting on a performance that's going to put him on Santa Claus' Christmas list. And I'm expecting him to stay on Santa's good list here moving forward.
We're going to reboot. We're going to regroup.
You got to practice. You got to learn to get in sync with each other.
We're not going to point fingers. We're not going to blame. We're going to line up and play the next game that they allow us to play. And we freaking go. And we fight for each other.
You know, obviously, I'm my own worst critic, so there's going to be a lot of things that I think I can do better.
I'm always going to point the finger at myself, and we're always going to look in the mirror and say, what can we do better? Because there's a plenty.
We're going to try and do whatever we can, you know, to win the game. We're going to scratch, claw, whatever it takes.
We kept a clean pocket. We complete a lot of passes when there's a clean pocket.
Whatever happened, they didn't blink, you know, and that was our goal, not to blink. Because we're not going to be, pushed around by something that we can't control, you know, and we control the things we can control.
I'd rather have a ugly win rather than a pretty loss, if that makes sense.
All we can say is, hey, go out, cut it loose, have fun, you know, and, may whatever happen.
You know, it doesn't matter what uniform you're wearing. The team that makes more plays is going to win the game.
And I think the beauty in this year the subtleties of simplicity.
This is a challenging year. I felt bad for the cardboard fans.
He's a passionate football coach. He loves the game, loves the X's and O's, loves the players, all that.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak on it too much, but that's it's an unfortunate turn of events.
You had some red zone failures and a number of drop passes. What do you attribute that to? Anything in particular?
Sucking.
I love that guy, man.
Mike Ryan is radiant. His quarterback quoted Parks and Rec. He is beaming. Parks and Rec, he's beaming.